Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Weekend Nigerian Spirit of Nigeria Radio, positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. And it's that time when we get to speak to our guest for the week. And today we're speaking to Oluwa Damilola Emmanuel. He was born on the 23rd of January in Ebute Metta area of Lagos State. Ha! Ebute Metta, that's my hood. Sorry. Let me behave myself. He started his early education at Coroner's School, then proceeded to Home Science Associated Secondary School, Lagos, where he sat for 4 and obtained the West African School Certificate. Damilola went on to read English in University of Lagos, where he obtained a BED. The first 4 additional academic qualifications saw him at the University of Hull, United Kingdom, where on completion was awarded an MBA in General Management with a distinction. See, I knew that halo around your head was just not a, it was book knowledge as well. That was the second one. Work life started for Damilola with Astro Soccer Nigeria Limited, the owners of the first A5-a-side football arena in Lagos. His work experience has spanned from sales, marketing, customer service, and executive roles in various sectors such as media, marine, sports, hospitality, and education. A top corporate communications and business analyst, reviewing corporate policies and enhancing organization sustainability, Damilola carried out impact assessment on diverse organizations' CSR activities and programs for several years. His impeccable success led to his recall and promotion to the position of a director in Curitan Nigeria Limited in September 2013, where he was until he was appointed as a secretary in the Lagos State Waterways Authority. A city development enthusiast, Damilola initiated and executed special projects for the authority as the secretary. He implemented different public awareness strategies, monitored the operations of the agency, and maintained relationships with NDAs of the government. His performance, zeal, and passion for the state waterways could not be concealed. He is currently the general manager of Lagos State Waterways Authority, having served as secretary from October 2015 to September 2017. As part of his community development interest, he has pioneered several CSR initiatives like the Flags Project. He believes that teamwork, creativity, service, and determination are the keys to achieving sustainable success at the public sector. He has won awards to show his dedication to service in Lagos State, Nigeria, and indeed mankind. A man with a strong heart for God and humanity, Damilola Emmanuel is happily married with 2 children. Damilola, can you hear us now? Damilola, can you hear us now? Oh, we can't. We can hear your back. We can hear you in the background. Or we can hear movement. Hello? Okay, I can
hear you. Hello, I'm here.
Yes, now I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
Yes,
fantastic. Okay, great. Welcome to the show, Damilola. It is great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Great. Okay, so I didn't know that you had served as a secretary in the Lagos State Waterways. What drew you to the Lagos State Waterways in the first place? Were you headhunted?
Okay, I just believe it was a call to serve. Okay. So I've been doing some great work with the foundation, and the current governor at the time was aware of the work I was doing, and so he thought it he deemed it fit to say, "Hey, I think it will be good for you to occupy this role in the government." Yeah.
Ah, so of course you took to this with all that you are.
Absolutely. Went to that with all I was.
Okay, so you are one of the first people that I posted on my timeline, and my phone just went off the hinge. I was thinking, what's going on here? Somebody said, oh gosh, this guy is amazing dude. I'm like, okay. Another person said, he's a fantastic boss. I'm like, okay. Another person was like, yay! Why are you trending on my, and then of course, I happen to be on a group in your church, And the flyer does just fly left, right, and center. I was like, oh my God. Somebody said, oh, our Pastor Damilola. I'm like, okay, people, we're talking about Lagos State here. Let's just focus. Let's just focus. Yes, we know he has plenty of qualities. So I had said to you that I'd gotten a question on LinkedIn. So when I posted the flyer, and the question goes that the person says, I have always wondered what targets you and your agency are chasing with jetty deployment and number of passengers carried per month, how aggressive they are, and the role the private sector is allowed to play in this regards.
Okay, very good question. And of course, it's a challenging question as well. And I think that's the real focus of my authority. So as you know, water transportation is not new in Lagos. Yes. It goes as far back as, you know, even the 1960s, 1970s. And I think if we can trace it back to Babaja Konde, you know, he had what we call the Baba Kekere and its Afaji, which was quite, there were two ferries, which used to ferry people from Mao to Marina. Okay. And obviously with that, it served during its time, but it went down, you know, and then private operators who were the local boat operators at the time then picked it up. And what we currently have is basically a sector which has more of the informal sector, you know, so they're about 80%. And what we've gradually tried to do is, one, you know, begin to work around safety, even with this informal sector, while at the same time, to even encourage more users onto the waterways. We've also then gotten a blend also of other private sector players who will come with bigger boats in terms of passenger size. So we can find a way to have them mix with the current boat operators, because the whole idea is that once you are bringing in new operators, then the existing ones think, oh, government wants to come and chase us away. But we've been able to, through awareness, through stakeholder engagements, engage them and let them know that, look, we're not chasing you. We just need to increase the capacity. We need to increase patronage of the waterways. And even they themselves, we need to find a way to even upgrade the standards of their existing ferries. Almost like what the Lagos State has done on the roads. You had a lot of the molewes and the downfalls at one time. But now we now have the introduction of BRTs. Yeah. So we're also trying to find a gradual way of bringing bigger and larger boats onto the waterway. So definitely, for us, that is our main target. Right now we're moving 2 million people on the waterways on a monthly basis. But if you look at those numbers on a daily basis, I mean, it's just less than 100,000. So, I mean, if you think about the amount of people you have in Lagos, it's still about, we will say, 2% of the amount of people who move, who move 20 means of transportation on a daily basis. So we're looking to move that from 2% to about 10%. So the whole idea is to ensure that, you know, it's also a viable alternative to the road. We're not going to say we're going to compete and beat the road, even though we're a coastal city. We want to ensure that people just have options, because we know that people will still be more comfortable using the road than the waterways.
So in terms of, and for me, that is, it's great to hear. I think one of the first stories that I actually touched on when I started work in radio last year was a story on the Lagos State waterways and the efforts that had been put into creating awareness and also talking about security and safety on the waterways. I also know from a few trips to the private beaches that at 6 o'clock you can't be on the waters. I think majorly because, one, it's of security and lighting, I guess, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Is that correct? Yes? Okay.
So yes, that's correct.
What I want to ask now is, I mean, we all saw with Nigeria's football team, I always mix up the Flying Eagles, Super Eagles, and the Green Eagles.
Thank you.
God bless your hair. So we all saw the Green Eagles going, the Super Eagles going to, where was it again, Cotonou? And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, they're going by water. That is amazing. And in my head, I'm like, you mean I can go to West Africa by water? Is that something that is going to happen? I know we're still working on getting people in Lagos State to accept water transportation as a solid means of... So, I mean, before they even start to consider going out of Lagos. But is that something that will be open to the general public anytime soon?
Most definitely. And when you say anytime soon, I don't want to say, oh, it's just going to be rapid within the next month or 2 months. Because one of the things we're trying to do is ensure that intrastate transportation, which is within the state, right, we have that well articulated and well developed. Then when we have that all sorted out, the next thing we need to begin to do is interstate, even within Nigeria. Mm. Because, you know, you can access more than 7 to 8 states by the waterways. Yeah. So we want to ensure that that works. Then we'll then move on to, obviously, intercountry. Because easily, like you just said, we actually got to Cotonou. We were able to get to Benin Republic. You know, we were able to get to Benin Republic within an hour to 30 minutes.
Wow.
You know, so it's interesting that the possibilities are there. And, you know, because it's another country, we have to ensure that, you know, between both countries, there's the understanding, there's all the safety and security measures put in place. Because before you know what's happening, people begin to smuggle goods and all of that in. So for now, you have to, for that trip, obviously, you have to get approvals, ensure that immigration was aware we're coming. So definitely, it was to show the possibility of the waterways and what we are going to see happening in the not-too-distant future.
That is exciting. I'm truly excited about that. And why I'm excited about waterways, a city that, or a country that I love to go to, with hands down, without any doubt, is Dubai. Because every time I go, I see something completely different. And mostly in terms of facilities that aid the lives of people that live in the country. So the first time I took a water ferry in Dubai, I slept. It was a 1 hour trip. Oh. And I thought to myself, gosh, we have water in Nigeria. Why is it that we cannot do this? The first time I saw that type of ferry in Nigeria, I did a jig on the bridge. I'm sure whoever was walking beside me must have thought, Kilo Shijiro, she has gone mad. But it was so exciting to see that I don't have to get into somebody's private boat or be have the fear of being in a canoe. I can actually go to the jetty, board this ferry, and go where I'm going. And for me, that is exciting. I don't like spending... I would rather spend time on the water than spend time on the road. So what's the connection? Are there any jetties on the mainland aside from Ikorodu?
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. You know, we have 20 local governments in Lagos State. Yes. You can actually access 15 by the waterways.
You got to be kidding me.
Yes. So we have 20 functional jetties which are scattered across every part of the state.
Okay.
So there's pretty much everywhere where water accesses, you have a jetty there. Now, one of the things that happened with those jetties is that when they were made back in the day, they were concrete jetties, so they didn't take into consideration that you have a large pool of people who are wanting to use those jetties. So what we're now having to do is modify those jetties with current realities. Mm-hmm. So to those concrete jetties, we're also attaching what we call floating pontoons.
Okay.
So that with the tides, you know, because sometimes the tides are low.
Yeah.
And if the tides are low and you come with a boat to the jetty, you are going to struggle to get onto the platform.
True.
So with those floating jetties now, we're ensuring that there can be multiple berths by different boats. So the government is currently modifying a lot of those jetties. But as I speak to you, these jetties are actually functional. People actually use them, especially the ones in the Ojo axis, because you know you have a lot of riverine communities in that Ojo axis. So a lot of them, their only way of commuting is by waterways, because they only reach certain communities by the waterways. So there's a lot of the jetties are functional, and the state government is just trying to upgrade them so that we can, you know, take into consideration more passengers and even more boats berthing as well.
Okay, so in terms of efficiency, and I know that is mostly dependent on human factor, but in terms of efficiency, because the BRT system has worked, I use the BRT system a lot of the times. It beats getting into the car, driving and finding parking space. It definitely beats it hands down. And you know that once you get to the bus stop, except maybe certain smaller bus stops in between where the buses don't fly regularly, there's a time the buses will be there. Is there that kind of structure in place for waterways transportation? So I know that if I get to the jetty at between a particular time and a particular time, I can get six buses go or six ferries going to six different locations.
Not yet in terms of time scheduling, because like I said, we're still largely driven by the informal sector.
Okay.
However, the only thing you're assured of is that if you, basically there's a peak period and there's an off-peak period, right?
Yes.
So the peak periods are between 6:30 to about 9 o'clock. So you're assured that if you get to the jetty at this time, you will definitely find a ferry which you can board onto.
Mm-hmm.
And in the evening as well, obviously when work has closed, you would obviously get between 4 p.m. and 6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what is currently operational mm-hmm. now. However, we're working towards ensuring that the boat operators then have appropriate scheduling, which we keep a track of as well,
mm-hmm.
and also we're ensuring that we're monitoring. And we're ensuring that we're also enforcing their times as well, because you know how it is with these people, they want to make a profit. So if, for example, if their boat is not yet filled, they might not want to move around on that time. So we just have to ensure that we enforce the time scale. But for now, it's unregulated services. It's irregular services, but you would definitely always find a boat within the peak periods, to definitely take you to your destinations.
Ooh. I was thinking, a thought flashed through my head just now. How do you enforce, and that for me, it speaks to mindsets. Nigerian transportation has been bugged with that. I mean, the buses, it's going to, or any form of transportation. And it's not only land. We've seen it with air transportation as well. Your flight is, and let me use that as an example. Your flight is supposed to take off at 10 a.m. And at the counter, they see that they only have 20 people scheduled for the flight or who have bought a ticket. Your flight is delayed till 10 p.m. because the flight is not full, because they're thinking of their losses. How do we circumvent this with the ferry, with the ferries? I mean, is there a way that, yes, they will be running at a loss, but is there a way that we can have that thinking reversed and say, you know, you will make up for that at the peak period, so that if there are only three people going somewhere at 1 o'clock, the ferry operator is not thinking, nah, this is not going to work, man. These people are going to be here till 2.
Yes, most definitely. So one of the things the state government is now doing is that even with the BRT system, there's something that has been introduced just late last year called the Cowry card, which I don't know if you have one, because you use the BRT, but it's like an Oyster card, which you will be able to use on any mode of transportation. So the whole idea is that, you know, what you just said would definitely be made up for, because if you have that card, right, and that card, you use it from the bus to the waterways and eventually to the rail. So there's in any way possible, right, because you still get paid for the amount of passengers who are coming through, you know, on a regular basis, it's going to ensure that every mode of transportation is adequately compensated. So it's through integration of all the modes of transportation that we're going to be able to resolve this issue of, you know, not wanting to go when your mode is not full or anything like that. Yes. So integration of all the modes of transportation is what we're looking into to ensure that that works.
That cannot be a small feat at all, especially with us in Nigeria. I mean, we're great people, don't get me wrong. We're absolutely fantastic people. But I can imagine the amount of work that it's taken to get to this point where it is like, you know what, we need to be a bit more technologically advanced.
Yes, absolutely. You're so right, because even with the informal sector, like I said to you, we've had to constantly keep engaging them, make them see the value in this. And I think once they pick up and they see the light at the end of the tunnel. They latch onto it and are willing to comply, but you know, you still have to be willing to engage, patiently engage and explain the whole process and make them see value. And yes, so definitely it's a process, but it's definitely doable because it's a no-brainer. We just have to ensure that our technologies are.
I'm going to ask something that just came into my mind now, and this is regarding the jetty at Fallowmore. And I know that when it was first built, there were ferries parked there for the longest time. I'm not sure what that was about. In my mind, what I thought was, okay, what I had heard, and please correct me if I'm wrong, what I'd heard was it was only for quote-unquote VIP passengers and for hire. And I thought to myself then, how is it possible that this is just for hire? The boats are sitting there every day, empty. There are people who are traversing the waters every day. This is income being lost. So is that a jetty that is being used? And are there certain boats that are set aside for certain category of people? Or are all the ferries just water transportation ferries, irrespective of who you are?
No, absolutely not. That impression is absolutely wrong. And you know, what happens at jetties is that, like I said to you, there's a peak period and there's an off-peak period. And obviously, because it's a jetty with multiple fingers, people park their boats there. So, for example, the boats you always saw, which were there, were owned by MTN. And MTN usually move their staff who work in Apapa by the waterways. So, definitely, we have the boats, commercial boats, which come. They park, they drop their passengers off, and then they go park at the other side. So when you see jetties just staying there, it's just because they're using it as a parking lot, parking slot for the boats which are not in operation. So it's nothing like it's only reserved for VIPs. Everyone comes there, low class, middle class, upper class. Everyone is welcome to use the jetty, the Fallowmore jetty, either to leave and to go as well. And the routes that we run currently from there, most of it is, I mean, I'll say about 80% of it is Ikorodu. We also have a few going to Badore Aja as well. We also have a few going to CMS as well. So those are the major routes which you have from the Fallowmore axis, with much more even still to come as well, because we believe that a time is coming, even though we have a lot of Badagry to CMS now, we believe that a time is coming where there will be a lot of Badagry even to Fallowmore as well, Fallowmore back to Badagry, because Fallowmore to Badagry is just an hour, 10 minutes by the waterway. So definitely it's not just for the VIPs, even though we have new ferry entrants who might want to come in, and they might want to offer what you call a first class service and all of that. But now we're currently, it's an all comers affair. It's for everyone in Lagos to be able to use, regardless of whatever your strata of society is.
So for lack of a better word, what's the marketing strategy of Lasswa? How do you get this message outside? I mean, obviously, the people that go to Ikorodu and Badagry and so on and so forth and Badagry know about this ferry service because they've been doing it. They've been using it for years, just not with the updated ferry boats. How do you get the word out there? Because, for instance, I didn't know that the Fallowmore jetty was functional. I just thought it was still a really beautiful place that was decoration. So I'm serious. So how do you disseminate this information?
Okay, very good. We have several channels which we use, but that's not, it's actually an intentional strategy. And the reason why we have steadily been creating that awareness is because we don't want to create the demand where we know the supply isn't fully there. So it's been very intentional to gradually have a specific target market, hit that target market, increase those numbers, and then gradually then begin to extend to other aspects of stakeholders whom we know will also be interested in using the waterways. Because we want to ensure that when you come, you can, you know, the supply is there, the kind of ferries which you would want to get into because you're not a natural user of the waterways, you would naturally get into, want to ensure it's there. Yes, the ones that are there, we ensure that they are safe as possible. We know some people will still see them and be like, nah, that's too small. I don't want to get it. I don't want to get into that, you know. So it's been a deliberate strategy to not just go full blast on, you know, creating all of the awareness. But we know that we're gradually getting to that point where we're going to begin to make that full awareness, because we've just licensed new operators this year. And, you know, we're also encouraging the existing operators to also increase their passenger boats as well.
So tell me about ticketing. I mean, do we have the same brouhaha with the rail stations where we can't, where even though we've gotten to the stage in Nigeria where everybody has a mobile phone that has data and can find something online, we're waiting till, well, the last I heard for the trains was we're waiting for February for us to be able to get tickets online. Can we purchase tickets online, or do we have to be at the station or the ferry or the jetty to get those tickets?
Well, for now it's manual ticketing, but as I speak to you, there are two operators who have just been licensed who are going to start selling electronic tickets. So basically, they're going to be offering like a e-hailing service,
okay,
like the way you have the Ubers on the road.
Yes.
I have the boats. We also have two organizations called Step and Osago, who will be offering electronic tickets alongside Lagos Ferry Services as well, who are going fully digitalized as well. So right now it's still manual ticketing, but between now and the second quarter, I mean, already in the second quarter, and the third quarter of this year, you'll see that begin to come into play where you can actually buy tickets online.
Ooh, that would be fun. As in, I'm seriously thinking of taking the jetty now. I'll be taking the ferry. Money the jetty. I can't take the jetty with me. Taking the ferry to Badagry just to see what the trip is like. I mean,
absolutely,
that would be an amazing, I mean, it would be rush hour traffic, but I mean, really, I would not be going to work. So I would just get to Badagry and then get on the next hop or the next one back to Falomo or back to CMS. That would be that would be good. So do you guys offer tours as well, as in for school children, for organizations, just to see how the ferry works and et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, so I'm a regulator actually, but we have private operators who do that.
Okay.
So we encourage the private operators to do that, because I mean, I want to create business for them as well. I don't want to be taken out of their business as well, if you know what I mean. So I'm actually a regulator who regulates such activities like that. But there are a number of private operators who are licensed to actually do that.
How do you keep it all together with, especially as everybody comes in, like you have said, they all want to make money. That's the bottom line of why they're doing what they do. How do you make sure that, yes, they do? And you've said it, you've talked about it a bit. How do you make sure that they see the end goal, they do make their money, but not to the detriment of the clients or passengers that they're carrying?
Well, you know, it's both a carrot and stick approach in this way, because really, you know how it is with us. Everybody wants to cut corners. Everybody wants to play sharp. So one, we do a lot of awareness. We do a lot of engagement. We support as best as we can. Government is trying to create an enabling environment by making sure that the waterways are navigable, providing the infrastructure, you know, so ensuring that they have the enabling environment they want to do. But then we also have to enforce to ensure that they're doing what you should do. So it's both a carrot and stick approach. It has to do with awareness and engagement, while at the same time also enforcing through fines, through implementing fines, and also you know, suspensions as well, for those who we find err in any way possible.
Hmm. Talking about the waterways, are there any plans? So this is a twofold question. How do you intend to keep the waterways clean? Because in Lagos State, because we're surrounded or we're on water, a lot of people believe that when they throw their rubbish into the water is going to take it away for them. This definitely must be a hindrance to the ferry operators and boat operators, etc., etc., etc. That's one. So aside from rubbish, all the fuel waste, etc., etc. And then two, are there any plans for cleaner energy ferries?
Well, thank you very much for this question. So your first question, I was going to say, we need Spirit of Nigeria Radio to get Nigerians to stop dumping waste on the roads, because every waste you dump on the road finds its way into a drainage and finds its way eventually into the waterways. 65% of the waste on the waterways are plastic bottles. As you know, plastic bottles don't easily decompose. They break down into smaller particles, which obviously affect marine life, affect the aesthetics of the waterways, you know, and even affects the engines of most of the boats. So, you know, the whole idea of waste, because water has no waste on its own.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's all the waste comes from land. So we need Nigeria. This is even beyond a government thing, to a cultural mindset shift that stop littering your environment. You know, and that's how we will be able to cope, because I'm very honest with you, trying to clean all the dirt and the water is never easy, as long as we have people who are still littering all over the place, because the more you litter, the more it ends up into the waterway. So the solution to that, we have a Loma Marine Unit which goes around in certain areas, pick up waste, and then they send the waste off to get recycled. But, you know, we still need to get to the point where we deal with the problem itself. We're able to, you know, just not just, you know, they always say prevention is better than cure.
Yeah.
You know, so prevent it by, you know, by having people stop littering generally, then we'll stop that problem. In terms of clean energy ferries, we've actually had proposals from those who want to bring gas-powered ferry, but it's a step-by-step process, because we have a lot of the petrol, a few of the diesel, but no, we've had proposals from those who are now looking to set up gas stations, but they need to set up the gas stations first, and then, in fact, beyond even the gas stations, to have electric ferries where they can charge them. But you know the thing with that as well, you have to ensure that a stable supply of electricity. Yes, so definitely it's there. We've had one or two trial runs. So I'm sure, maybe not this year, but I'm sure sometime in the next 2-3 years, we might see a few of those clean energy ferries coming into Lagos.
That would be so exciting. I mean, I'm just excited about the fact that we actually have ferries that are running, ferries that I will be willing to go into, that I would not be. It's true now, because truly, I mean, a lot of people will disregard it. Because in our minds, we're thinking, I will get there and I will see this wooden boat. This wooden boat, by the way, which has been ferrying people for centuries. And, well, more or less. Nothing really untoward has happened. How do you... speaking about that and the water safety, how do you make sure that the guy on... How do you regulate the guy in the wooden boat? He's been doing this for maybe longer than I have been born or I've been alive, and he hasn't used a life jacket, and nothing has happened to him or his three children or his wife. And then you now come and you now say, he looks at you first and says, what can this child know? And then you hand him a life jacket and he's thinking, no, it's not going to happen.
Well, good. One of the things we know to do is the enforcement of the use of life jackets. And I can proudly say that even before I got to last one, one of the things that I had enforced, and yes, you still find those who would err, don't get me wrong, but generally we have good compliance with boat operators, with boat stakeholders using their life jackets. The only people who are exempt from using life jackets are the fishermen, because it hampers their fishing operations. If you are not a fisherman, you definitely are on board any kind of vessel or anything moving on the waterways, you must have your life jacket on in one form or the other. And we've been able to enforce that. We've been seeing good compliance with that. Like I said to you, some will still err. Whenever you err, the authority, you know, make sure that you face the full wrath of the law. You know, so definitely I'll say regarding that, we've been able to do that extensively through engagement and enforcement, which is an ongoing thing. By ensuring that.
So you do have, I mean, this is going to sound like a moot point. So of course you do have the water police. So you have the law enforcement agency of all arm of LASWA. So they patrol the waterways, especially in the areas where there's heavy traffic. Yes.
Yes, we have the monitoring and enforcement team. Then there's also marine police on the waterways as well. But we have the enforcement teams which go around on the waterways to ensure all of these rules and regulations are adhered to.
Since you've been with LASWA, how would you categorize or how would you describe the progress or the growth since you joined and now? And what do you see for the future of LASWA?
Well, I see there's been astronomical growth. A great job done by the initial leaders of LASWA and those who were before me, because they laid a solid foundation. And I think they laid the foundation. I was privileged to be able to ensure that the house is built. And beyond me as well, I've started the furnishing of the house, but I know that there will still be, you know, others who are going to take the building to higher levels and increase the furnishing. So for me, the future of LASWA will be to see a fully integrated transportation system, which water transportation is not in isolation, but it's going to, you know, link very well, first of all, with road transportation, where we have that last mile connectivity, where you get down from a ferry, and there's either a bus or some kind of vehicle waiting for you, or you can easily do your park and ride. Mm. So I see that there's going to be a very functional, integrated system at every single jetty. That's what I see for the future. And of course, larger vessels on the waterways as well, because even the informal sector now, we've encouraged them, and this year they're actually forming cooperatives so that they can, you know, they can be more organized. Government can support them with subsidies in a more fitting and organized way as well. So what I see definitely for the future is an integrated transportation system, where water transportation is not just in isolation, but we have definitely better ferries, and the waterways is safe, is clean, and definitely prosperous for all those involved.
So you're talking of bigger ferries, and in my mind I'm thinking, are waterways that deep?
Absolutely. So right now, that's one of the things that the state government has been doing. They've been channelizing the waterways, and channelization basically means you dredge the waterways to ensure that the depths are deep enough for boats to go on. And then you also put what you call directional signs, which are called marker buoys, on the waterways as well. Yeah. So for now, a lot of the passenger boats are 20-seater passenger boats. When I say to increase capacity, I'm meaning double those numbers. So we're looking at 50 seaters and above. Okay. And as I speak to you, definitely for 50 seaters, they can easily go. I know when it gets to 100 seaters, 200 seaters, then we might have a few issues in a few routes. But generally for now, we can still double the current numbers we have. We can go to the 50 and the 60 seaters to ensure that a lot more people can be moved on the waterways on a daily basis.
And this doesn't portend any adverse effects to the environment, and I'm referring to the dredging and channelization of the waters, so that we gain depth. This doesn't portend.
It doesn't, because you should do those things to ensure navigability of the waterways.
Right. Okay. Okay, so the jetty, there's a jetty somewhere around, or at least I thought it was a jetty, somewhere around Owurunshoki and Unilag. Is that supposed to be a functioning jetty? First and foremost, it's on the... So for me, when I first saw the work going on around that area, I thought the jetty was going to be on the right side, so that would be on the side driving traffic towards the mainland. I was totally shocked when I found out that the jetty was on the left. There were houses on the right side, and then the jetty was now on the left side going towards the island. How are we going to be able to access that jetty? And is it
very good question? Very good. So let me explain what's going on in that area, right? In Lagos, they have identified that, you know, there's traffic. You have large movement of cars on the third mainland bridge.
Yes.
Obviously, people coming from Ikorodu, all those different access
yes.
within Lagos State. You have a lot of them coming from Ikorodu, from Ajota, from Ibadan. You have a lot of them coming into the island through the third mainland bridge. Yeah.
Yes.
We also have the Apapa Oshodi Expressway as well.
Yes.
We have the Apapa Oshodi. We also have the Lekki Epe as well. So the whole idea is that if you pick these three points, right, we want to decongest these major expressways or bridges, right? So if you look at that terminal bridge, which you've just spoken about now, yes. To the right side, the land has been reclaimed, and the state government is definitely working towards a PPP okay. to ensure that we have a large terminal there, which will be a park and ride, and there will also be a shopping complex, and it will just be like a whole, you know, integrated system over there where it's not just ferry transportation, but there's also your shopping experience. There's also, you know, some kind of a fun park for you to enjoy. Just like a shop ride as well will be there. That's the plan for that place.
Okay.
But in the meantime, what had happened was that while they were fixing a road in that Bariga area, they realized that, oh, at the end of this place is the waterway. And the community, he said, look, state government, can you support us with a modern jet ski here, which can serve that whole area? Mm-hmm. And that whole area, Bariga, actually leads you to Ikorodu as well again, because mm-hmm. indirectly, it can link to Ikorodu, it links you to Bagada, it also links you to the Yaba axis as well. Mm-hmm. So you have all the people come from Yaba, Ikorodu, and even Bagada, they can actually access Bariga. And when you get to Bariga, from Bariga to Falomore, it's just about 12 minutes.
Oh,
so
wow.
That jetty is actually functional. However, there are several issues with that jetty. One, the dredging needed to happen and channelization to enable boats to be able to access the jetty. Mm. Secondly, the Bariga roads, the other, because there are like three roads which are linking into each other.
Yeah.
The Market Road itself was not very navigable.
Okay.
And then the St. Finbar Road as well was by which, as I speak to you, has been contracted out to be rehabilitated, okay. I mean, to be reconstructed.
Okay.
So those roads, once they are fully done, we believe that jetty will become fully viable. But that jetty can take as much as 120 cars. And the good thing about those jetties right now is that we're not just seeing them as jetties alone. We have in Falomo, where we have a restaurant as well. There's also a relaxation point in the Bariga jetty where it's actually called Bariga. And people actually go there on the weekends, on the weekday. It has become a major tourist and relaxation center for the Bariga environment.
Yeah,
so you should actually go there, because people actually go there, sit down by the waterside, look at the water, have a drink, they eat, they have fun. Yeah. So it's actually also serving multiple purposes. Jetties as well are serving multiple purposes as well. And there's also points of advertisement as well. We have advertisement in some of our jetties now.
That is so cool. I mean, because I thought, you know, I always think whenever I drive past that, you know, that place looks so nice on the water. I wonder if it's functioning. I mean, see, I'm writing my list, my to-do list for Lagos State. Just be on the jetty up and down the water and be going and checking out all these places. Because, I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. It's good to know that it serves beyond the major function. So there are additional add-ons to it, which... I mean, if you decide that you want to, for instance, it would be good for getting to know Lagos. I mean, if you're in Bariga and you want to take your kids and you want to show them Bariga, you can drive there by road, take a boat to Falomore, which is 12 minutes away, have a drink in Falomore, or just walk around that premises and then go back and then do the same thing when you get to Bariga. That's holiday done, man. You're done and dusted. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
When
yes.
you were talking about yes. the pack and ride, what came into mind was the station at, and this is the bus station at Ikeja, just before the local airport. So that's the kind of thing that you're saying is going to be replicated for the jetties, or is being replicated for the jetties. That's amazing. It's good to know that there's, I mean, because a lot of people will say that the government isn't working. I know for a fact that Lagos State has grown in leaps and bounds. I mean, I've been here most of my life, and it's amazing. The first change for me was driving along the roads and seeing trees. That, for me, was huge. I thought that, because I grew up in the north. I was born and brought up in Kaduna, and we saw trees. So getting to Lagos and not seeing trees, I was a bit shocked. I was thinking, what's going on here? So seeing those, and people, I know there were a lot of people who were against that. They were like, why are you spending the money doing? I say, you don't know what the flower is doing. When you understand what the flower is doing, you'll be okay. It's a common effect. And it's nice to know that we're also thinking beyond just getting on the ferry, getting to the jetty and being stuck. It's nice to know that when you get to the jetty, you can either get on a bus, get in a cab, get on a bike, and go to where you're going? Because most people, the jetties don't stop at the offices. They still have to do some sort of... That's
last mile connectivity.
Yes. That's absolutely amazing. I mean, that you guys must be doing... I'm sure sometimes you're pulling your hair out and thinking, oh, Lord, have mercy. Can we just move on to the next bit now? So tell me... it's true. It can't be easy. So tell me... and I want to veer a bit off Laswa and talk about the caliber of people that work in Lagos State. I had said earlier on, just before the show started, that it's nice to see that there's an injection and, excuse my terminology, but I can't seem to find any other thing to describe it, an injection of fresh blood. It is nice to see that in Lagos State, we have people who are in their 30s, early 40s in government, not people who are in their 60s and 70s. And I'm not saying that there's no knowledge or no wisdom with age. But I see that with the youth or the younger people, there's been a lot. Lagos has been able to thrive. And especially as, like I said to you, I've worked most of my life. And I know that when I first started working, I worked with a younger generation of architects. And in my mind, they were going to be a lot more forward thinking than their predecessors. Sadly, at that point in time, I was wrong. And I thought, ugh. But if I use Lagos Station as an example, and I use you and the generation that has been used in government, we can see the positivity. How has that experience been for you working in Lagos State and working under a ministry in Lagos State or not ministries? Last one is not ministry, but you know what I mean. Words fail me.
Well, let me just say it's really been a privilege to be able to be in this kind of environment that, you know, doesn't discriminate against the youth. And I think that's why Lagos State has always led. And I think even it's only a matter of time before the entire Nigeria begins to pick up on that as well, because I see that, you know, spreading across the states. We've seen the EFCC chairman who was just picked as well. You know, so I just think, look, it's we've gotten to the point now where even with technology, it's having to make us know that, look, we need those who will be able to respond and deal with issues as it relates to today. You know, not ruling out the fact of, like you said, the aged and those who are much older. You know, because if we look at the history of Nigeria, when most of those people who became, you know, the heads of, you know, the country and heads of positions, much younger people. So it's like a cycle now that we're going back to those who are much younger. You know, it's also a call for us who are much younger to be more responsible, to be willing to take the bull by the horn, to show responsibility, because opportunities will always come. But we don't want any kind of, I mean, nobody, we don't want you to then get the opportunity and then lose, and then they say that's why we don't want to give the youth anything. Yeah. So for me, I would say it's really been a privilege to be able to have, Lagos State has created an enabling environment. Thank God for the past governors and the governors who have enabled and ensured that, you know, they have young people on their team, and the young people have not failed them, and the young people are actually producing results. But the young people as well are recognizing those in the system who are much older than them, learning from them, and even doing things much better, you know, than they should be. Because as I'm advancing in government, I want those below me to do far better than I'm doing. So it also beholds on me of how I'm also reacting to those who are coming below as well.
You know, that's not something that a lot of us think of in terms of improving things for those coming behind us to do better, or providing things, or providing structures, so to place, or pulling people up. It's not something that is widely done in Nigeria. There's a young man on my phone who's been posting an 8-day series. I had to harass him to send it to me today. The difference between a leader and a true leader and a boss. And that's not something that is done. People, most of us think in our heads that if we share, the person that we share with is going to become greater than us, which is the whole, for me, that's the whole aim. if I do not teach the person to be better than me, then I failed at what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
But if we do not see that, then we're not building a generation, or we're not leaving room for people to grow as we have grown.
Yes.
And we must allow people to grow and also grow in their mistakes. I saw a quote from somebody, was it just yesterday, who said that, you know, we've got to celebrate our failures, that we're too busy hiding them and thinking and showing to the world that all we have are successes, and allow people to fail so that they can learn from it and we can learn from it and understand why they got there and how they're going to get away from it. So I doff my hat to, like you said, there have been, I mean, it's been the grace of God first and foremost, and then the visionaries in Lagos State who have seen that if you do not include the younger generation, at one point in time, there'll be a gap. There'll be a huge gap and we'll be struggling. And that has played in Lagos State. We have seen that the youths have been, and I said to somebody, I said, it's not the youth that is 50. Anybody that is 40 is not a youth. Let's just leave it. You have moved to adulthood. It's true now. You have moved past youth.
Absolutely.
So in terms of, and let's come down to you now. What drives you?
Where is it? What drives me? I don't thought of a car, and I said, a car drives me.
No,
that's a joke.
I know.
I mean, to be honest, nothing else drives me other than God. Mm. God drives me. So that's the only driver I have. I think it's just God. God definitely is the first. And I think another thing that drives me is just seeing others happy. Mm. Yes, those are the things that drive me. Or seeing others happy, seeing others fulfilled, one way or the other. Those are the two things I'll say drives me. Yeah.
And that is stellar, because I have noticed over the years that a lot of us, once we don't have that foundation, we're wavering. I mean, we're struggling and we're wavering enough as it is. Without having that foundation, there's so much lack of confidence. People are afraid to stand on their own. They believe that they need validation from something or from someone before they can move forward and give what they have already been given to show. So, I mean, and that can't be stressed enough. If you do not have the solid rock under you, and that is in the person of God, then in fact, this journey is a long journey. You need all the positivity you can get on your side. What's your favorite food?
Favorite food is beans and plantain.
You got to be kidding me. I love beans.
Yeah.
I love beans. I can do without the plantain, but I love beans. I love beans. What do you do for relaxation? Yeah.
Very, very good question.
That means you don't relax. Damn, Lola. Because when people repeat that question two or three times, when I ask them, I'm thinking these people don't have off button.
Yes. Very, very, very true. Now, you know, interestingly, I think now I'm learning to relax. So I'll say what I do for relaxation is either I'm spending time with the wife, children, mm-hmm. or swimming. Or watching football. Yeah.
You football people, Lord have mercy. I don't know how that's relaxation. I mean, some people are not calm watching a football match. I mean,
let me tell you why it's relaxation for me, because I'm not as addicted as I used to be. So that's why I can relax. So whoever wins, yes, I have my team, but for me, I'm not like this person didn't win, so it spoils my day, it spoils my mood for the day.
That's good. That's wisdom. That's definitely wisdom. Because, man, there's no need to have the palpitations and the heart attack on top of a football team that is not sending you dividends. Because
no. No need at all. Yeah.
So what do you think, and I know, I mean, in my head as I'm asking you this question, I think I already know the answer, but what do you think is the future for you?
Well. to be honest, I think the future for me has to do with impacting people. So wherever that takes me to, I'm willing to obviously impact people on a more larger scale. I'm obviously impacting people now at my own level, where I am. The future for me, I just see giving me an opportunity to impact more people on a more larger scale. So that's how I would love to put it. So whatever opportunity comes up for me to do that is where you probably find me.
And that's a good way to stop. That's a good way to end this interview. That truly impact, because obviously you have been endowed with a gift, and that gift does not end with you. If you do not share that gift and share it widely, then it's safe to say that you haven't accomplished that which you have set out to do. Damilola, thank you for spending the last hour with us. We're grateful. I trust you will continue to, with your team at Lasswell, continue to pull fits and bounds out of thin air and do the things that you truly see in your mind's eye will come to fruition. I'm looking forward to that ferry ride, and I will definitely take a picture and tag it when I do it and send it to you.
Thank you so much.
All right, Damilola. Enjoy the rest of your day and have a great Saturday.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Your team as well.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Damilola Emmanuel, the general manager of Lasswell, chat on the Lagos State waterways, the future of Lagos State with water tourism, etc., etc. I'm particularly pleased to hear about the integration. So not only are there just jetties, they're jetties which, or how did he put it now? So everything is interconnected. I forget the word that he used. But so when I get to the jetty, especially that cowrie card. I'm going to go and get that cowrie card. When I get to the jetty, I can move on to the next form of transportation to get me to where my destination is. And that in the shortest possible time, aside from intrastate, we're going to be doing within Nigeria and then outside of Nigeria, as they have already shown that they have done. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.